So have you learned something in the past few weeks? Hi, Rhonda. You look real happy today. Praise the Lord. You're just glowing all over the place. You're like an old-fashioned Christian couple. Shiny, shiny and stuff. The intensity of what we've been learning these past couple of weeks, and it's been very intense. It's been very, very intense. Who would agree? It's been very intense. But simple, applicable to everyday life. The word was designed that way. It wasn't supposed to be deep, mysterious, and spooky. God's word was given to the people always in a way that they could pilot it. It understood it. He gave a lot of agricultural examples because he lived in an agricultural environment. So he talked a lot about seeds and flocks and stuff. And so we think they have spiritual meaning. But they didn't have spiritual meaning. They had everyday application to the people he spoke to. Does that make sense? Everything he said went with the time of the day. So when we picture our Father, we have a tendency to strip him of his omniscience and our thought process. You should know it wasn't going to take me that long. We have a tendency to limit God's perspective to the days of old. We have this unfortunate belief that the images of God we have, and even TV shows and movies they do, and I get the point, they still walk around with sandals and the dusty shores and somehow all that dust and dirt, but their outfit stays white. It's just amazing, the things that happen. You know, and I'm just going to take a quick side journey and say that's why they had the ceremonial washing of the feet, because they didn't have shoes and they lived in sandy and dirt roads, and your feet got dirty. And the washing of the feet was the sign of respect. And somebody come in your house, you say, "Can you take your shoes off?" Well, then they would have the bucket and stuff there by the door so you could, at the door, so you can wash your feet before you entered somebody's house. So if somebody took the time to wash your feet for you, that was a sign of ultimate love and ultimate respect. It wasn't a slave task in that sense. It was respect. It was tantamount to me saying, "I prefer you to the place that not only am I letting you come in my house, I'm going to clean your feet for you." Now, with that said, we started last week really delving into the power of covenant. All of the Deuteronomy 8 that we've done for the past almost 2 months, and still not totally free from it, I begin to take us through Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. Now, I want us to go to Ephesians 6, and I want us to go further with it. I'm explaining it a little bit, and then I'm going to bring you back to Deuteronomy 9. So we did Deuteronomy 8 in its entirety. Now we're going to go to Ephesians 6, and then we're going to come back to Deuteronomy 9. And what my desire and hope to do today is show you the manifestation in New Testament that's promised in Old. What I want to do is show you that the New Testament is not a new book. It's the fulfillment of a promise. When people break it up into New and Old Testament, they have this tendency of believing that's the Old Testament, it's the New Testament, like it's totally two different thoughts and ideas and times and dispensations. And that's not the way it was intended to be. Jesus came, he said, "I didn't come to do away with the law, but that through me the law may be fulfilled." He had a desire. I mean, not a desire. He had a desire, but he had a purpose. And his purpose was that he was to ratify both covenants. Did I lose anybody? So what we're saying is, if all Jesus came to do is walk, live, die, and rise from the dead again, which is what Christians totally believe, and that's the full extent of his mission, isn't that what we learn in church? Well, if that's the full extent of his mission, that means he came to create a new covenant, find a new people, and totally disown God's old covenant and leave all those people out. And Christians will say, oh, Jews are going to hell. He keeps covenant for 1,000 generations. Where do you come up with this stuff? Where in the Bible did he say, now that I have you, I don't want them? Didn't it say we were grafted in? So then if we grafted in through them and they're going to hell, we're lost. But we like to play the exclusive game. We're the better ones now. Nobody knows better than we. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, for the record, when we went through Deuteronomy 8, first verse, he said, and matter of fact, I'm going to do that before I go to 6. You'll turn to 6. I'm going to go to 8, just to, you know, my verse 1. That's the foundation, and we just throw that in. He said, be careful to follow every commandment I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised with an oath to your ancestors. So let's just lay this foundation one more time so that somebody may not have been here for the first part, we'll begin to see where we are. So be careful. Remember, we went through that in total detail. What does he mean by be careful? Prioritize, that's one word. What's the next one? See, that's why I have to keep going back, because you're come on. Don't try to be deep. Be mindful. Thank you. Somebody else. You're writing notes. You got to have notes. You can cheat. Pay special attention to. Handle with care. Everybody's trying to get deep. Be careful means handle with care. Treat it as precious and valuable. So he's not saying be careful, like you better watch yourself. He's saying be careful to follow. Treat it as precious and valuable, every commandment I'm giving you today, so that you may live, increase, enter in and possess the land I promised with an oath to people before you. So this is not something you're trying to obtain fresh for yourself. This is something that has been in the promise for centuries. Before I move on, I'm going to say this one more time. We need to stop believing for cars and this and that and that. We need to stop that. We need to stop that. So you're saying we're not supposed to have nothing, Pastor? You know I'm not saying that. I'm a very blessed man. No, I'm saying seek ye first the kingdom. Let those things be added. Don't let those things become priorities. Don't let those things become your needs or your prayer list. If they become your prayer list, you're limited, and you can't go any higher than those desires. If the height of your prayer is, God, I just need a raise on my job so I can pay these bills, and that's the cry of your heart, you're stuck right there in the realm of the spirit. Because God is saying, no, you are an ambassador here. You're not confined to the constructs of this world. Your source and resources from the kingdom. Seek the kingdom. Carefully guard this information I'm giving you about the covenant. Because if you do that, all those other things will automatically manifest. Don't seek those things out. Are you hearing me again?
Absolutely.
This is important. Because the church has been taught, sow a special seed, do a special this, and God showed me he going to give you a raise. And so everybody's caught in this world as if God shows his love with earthly trinkets. If God has to show you his love by giving you something, you need to get saved. Because the wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. The only way God needs to show his love to me is remind me that he sent Christ to hang on the cross and die for me. And everything else is automatic. Amen. Don't get deeper than that. So, yeah, I do have. I am blessed. But it's not because I pursue blessings. I pursue the blesser. Okay, so we're all on the same page. So he said this. Handle these commandments. Now, all of a sudden, commandments have changed in our mind and heart. Yes? They're not rules that stop us from having fun. They're not things that confine us and bound us into a place that we can't really enjoy life like we want to because God don't want us to. He's saying, no, if you see the value and the power of what I'm giving you here, if you treat them carefully, you begin to see that these things are more desirable than wealth and riches, than silver and gold, or anything this world can promise. So I won't stay long on that because we want to get going, but we'll make sure we build the foundation. And then what is this promise to the ancestors? We go to the end of the book. And right at verse 9, he goes into, well, we could go to 7, but let's go to 9. A land where there's bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing. This is the promise of the ancestors. A land where rocks are iron, and you can dig deep copper out of the hills. When you've eaten, are satisfied, praise the Lord, your God, for the good he has given you. Be careful that you don't forget the Lord, your God, failing to observe his commandments. Back to that again. And his laws and the decrees that I'm giving you today. So he goes on to describe it. Go back down to 17. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hand have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you the ability to produce wealth. So and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. So we wrapped up on that. So he went to describe now the covenant and what it included. If you're careful to keep these commandments, and he goes back to these commandments, and he ends it with what we talked about, what I promised to your ancestors. This has been in the works, and it's never going to change. If you don't receive it, it's because you're seeking that instead of the covenant. The covenant is there. The covenant exists and is there. It's been promised forever. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 6 and let's have some fun. Does everybody feel like they're up to date now? Okay, good. Let's go to Ephesians 6. You ready? Starting at verse 10. Now, finally, after everything else you've heard, you want to know what he's saying finally too? Start from Ephesians chapter 1 and come all the way through it. But for today, and for the sake of time, let's just go to 6 and deal with the finally. Because there's a lot of promises in the book of Ephesians. But we're going to start with this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of A what? And the power of what?
His might.
Whose might?
God's might?
Okay, so be strong in him and the power of his might. Let me get your attention. Doesn't mean be strong and include him in your prayer for strength. Let me say that again. It doesn't mean be strong and ask for strength from God to be strong. Did I lose anybody? Okay, good. I love the honesty. Let me see how can I do this? I know what to do, but I don't know how to do that without probably causing somebody harm. So we'll pretend. No, I need to give the example of being strong. You follow what I'm saying? Okay. So let's do it like this. Ruth, you come, since you said no. Don't do it, but let's pretend. I tell you, be strong. Pray the Lord for strength. Now pick me up. You understand? That's still you. After praying for God to give you strength, trying to pick me up with your strength. He said, be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. That means I have to have the ability to allow the Lord to pick it up. Got it? Yeah. It's not about me figuring out how I can get God to supplement me or how I can supplement God, but how I can really trust God to do what he said he would do in my life without my interference. Oh, come on. Somebody can give me an amen or something on that. That's a process. Well, you know, the Lord helps to help himself. Where's the scripture? Because I didn't see Moses part the Red Sea. I didn't see him getting the water, start doing like this. And come on, Lord, help me. Help me get it parted. Now, come on, Lord Jesus. He stood back. God said, put the stick in it, and that's all I need from you. And the rest of this is none of your business. When is it going to close? I'm sure as they were crossing the sea, they were going, whoo, yeah. We could. And they look back and saw the army coming like, okay. They come in too. God says, it's none of your business when I close it. You just go forward in what I've opened. Just keep going forward. Don't look back at who's coming. Just keep going. I opened it. So when the word is saying, be strong in the Lord and the workings of his mighty power, we have to get to the place that we trust in the workings of his mighty power to see them. I just pray that the Lord had the boys give me favor. Well, maybe God don't want the boss to give you favor. Maybe God want you to be the boss. Maybe he wants you out of there altogether. See, these are the things that only come from you stopping asking God to assist you in your plan. I spent a lot of my life doing that. And if it took me 58 years to figure it out, I figured it out. Get out the way. Say, God, tell me what you're doing so I line up with that. Now, let's finish this up. I could preach all day on just that verse, but let's just move on. I want to make sure we get the fullness of this message. So be strong in the Lord in the working of his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. We got to wrestle with the devil, brother. Okay, see, religion makes me sick, and church people sometimes get on my nerves. A lot of times. Everybody do me a favor and stand up. Humor me. Let your mom, she can sit. She's okay. Now watch this. You there? How you feel? You standing all right? Yeah. Your knees are not wobbling, everything. Everybody feeling okay? Yeah. You had a decent breakfast. Everybody feeling all right? Yeah. Put on the armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Do you see fighting the devil here anywhere? Wrestling with the devil here. Cussing and rebuking him day and night. Binding him at the top of your lungs. You have one requirement, and that is to do what? Stand. To stand. So the armor is for you to stand. You may be seated. The purpose of the armor is to give you a good, strong stand. Not to make you fight the devil. Next verse. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of the dark of this world, against spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. Let's just take this for a minute before we start to break down the armor. Just make sure we understand. People say, I'm putting on my armor, my breastplate, and they make songs about it and everything. But if you don't know how to use a tool, you're a dangerous person. I'm into home improvement, home development, buying, flipping houses, all this kind of good stuff. God has blessed me in that, prospered me. But when I started, I didn't know how to use a lot of tools. Now, I'm just going to make a reference to one tool. One tool, simple tool. Well, maybe two, but one for sure. Because I figure most of you won't know about it. And unfortunately, I can't even tell you the name of it because I don't know what it's called. But in my process of home improvement and house development, I've had to install a lot of sinks. You ever had to install a sink? God bless you. Because if it's already installed and the top is already on and you got to get under it and squeeze your hand between the bowl and the wall and the fixture and try to fasten the faucet to the sink that's already installed. See, I would always try to get a sink that's not installed, put all the fixtures in, and then drop it down and then just got to attach it to the faucets. Am I losing anybody? But if you got to replace one that's already installed, you're not going to rip the whole countertop up. So you got to, and you're getting splinters all in your hands and scratching it all up against this, and you're trying to get your hand around this nut and turn it. Then you try to get a plier in there, and of course, now the plier got to open up to get around it, and you scratch, and you get, come out, and your skin is all. I don't want to change your faucet. You get my point? Then I wasn't with this guy one day, and he had this thing in his bucket. And I looked at it. I don't know the name of it. But it's like a long pipe, long silver pipe. It's got this little funny-looking claw on the end that has a spring on it that pops open and closed, and a little pin that slides in and out at the bottom, I guess to give you some grip. And I said, what is that? He said, that's how you put the faucets on. I said, excuse me? He said, yeah, let me show you. And he took this thing and he put it up under and he pushed it and it, because it's got a spring on automatic, right? And he just stood down there with the pole and just whoop, 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 whoop. And I said, you mean to tell me I've been busting my knuckles up for years and there's this little sink pipe thingy. Still don't know what it's called. I just went to the store and got two of them. I needed the pipe thingy you used. The guy said the name of it. I said, yeah, that. Show me it. That's the thing. I want a long one and a short one. I never want to jam my hand up in there that I've been doing for the past 10 years, twisting. Are you understanding me? So there are tools for the job, but they have a function and a purpose. And if you don't know how to use them correctly, so when I started understanding this kind of stuff, I went back to the armor of God because it became clear to me these are tools. Yes. It says you put them on that you may stand the wiles or the deceits or the attacks of the enemy. So then these are tools. Then why would we just read them and get excited about them and not say, what tool does what and how do I use it? The first thing to understand is the armor of God is for standing. Say that.
The armor of God is for standing.
Now, this is amazing to me because I've been taught fight the devil. You got to fight the devil. You got to wrestle with the devil. Oh, fight the devil. And one day early in my Christian walk, and I still didn't believe it. It still took me almost 15, 20 years later, before I really understood what God was saying to me, God said to me, why would you fight somebody that I've already defeated for you? And I said, I get it, but I don't get it. And God took me into a vision. Never forget this. Young Christian, still didn't act on it right away, still kept fighting him for years, but helped it in my heart. You ever had God give you a revelation to something, and then 6, 7, 8 years later, you go, oh. And God like, my dumb children, I love you. My special needs kids. But in this image, God showed me in the ring fighting the devil and his demons. And I was into the wrestling stuff back then. And this, like I said, this was maybe about 25, 30 years ago. And they were beating the living crap out of me. And then they were tagging each other. And they were getting on the rope and jumping in. And double teaming me. And I'm looking at the ref like, these guys are beating the crap out of me. And in my corner is Jesus. And I see Jesus just standing there watching me getting whipped. And I'm like, okay, I know that there's rules to wrestling, but you, Jesus, you can break the rules now. And I'm getting beat up. And I'm feeling depression. I'm feeling heavy. I mean, and I'm not saying physically beat me. I'm talking about all the stuff that the demon spirits would do you. Heaviness, depression, fear, confusion, dismay, lack, everything you could go through, I'm getting pounded. And literally hitting me with chairs, all the stuff you would see on wrestling. I'm going through all of this. And I'm just feeling as whipped as I can be. And Jesus is standing there. And every time I look in Jesus' direction, he just does this. And I'm like, there's three of them in here now. You just get in. And finally, I got tired of getting whipped on. I mean, this was a very vivid vision. And I reached out my hand. And as I reluctantly, because I thought I should be able to handle this. I was saying all the stuff, the blood of Jesus, the Lord rebuke you, and still getting smacked all around, hit with chairs and elbow drops off the ring and suplexed and just slammed all over the place. Finally, I reached my hand out. And as I reached my hand to Jesus' hand, my fingers touched his fingers. And Jesus didn't get in the ring. The fight just ended. It disappeared. Everything, the ring, everything around me just disappeared. And there was nothing but clouds and peace. And I said, wow. I wasn't supposed to be in that ring, was I, Jesus? He said, no, you were not. You were in there by deception. You were in there by choice. You fight the enemy because you think you have to. I already beat him. So I began to study the book of Ephesians very thoroughly at that point, very young in my walk, and I began to understand. My problem was I would then go to my pastors and say, okay, this is my revelation. They'll go, no. You don't know enough yet to be figuring out the Bible. That ain't the way it is. And they would steal it back from me. So I had to make a decision to stand with God for myself, which is what I ask you guys to do all the time. What I teach is great, but you still got to go before God and develop your own relationship. You got to have your own conversation. You got to do this yourself. I can only give you the instruction, but I cannot walk you up to him and develop that relationship. You got to step out. Me and Sherry were just talking upstairs. I said, it works better on the ground than it does just in the book. Mm-hmm. You know, you read it in the book, but you got to put it to work. So let's go back to this. So you know now the arm is to stand, and now we're going to start breaking this down piece by piece. So you put on the full armor. So here's another key word. Say the word full. So let's understand something. You listening to me? You listening to me? You listening to me? And then say put on some of the armor. It didn't say put on the pieces you like. It said just work with this right now, and the Lord will get you that eventually. You eventually will figure it out. Our responsibility is to put on the whole armor so that you can what? So that you can what? You can stand. You can resist. Right? Withstand, stand, resist. Well, so then if I'm telling the truth, and you, do you agree with me so far? Who agrees with me? I'm right? So far, scripturally, I'm spot on. Who don't agree? Like, Pastor, I don't think you crazy. So we good. So you put on the whole armor so that you can stand or withstand, which means to resist, correct? Did not Jesus say, resist the devil and he will
flee?
Okay, so then if he's fleeing, who I'm fighting? So if I got the armor on so that I can stand and resist, and if I resist, he flees, where's the fight? Say, thank you, Lord. I passed the studies. Okay. Now we move on. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of darkness of this world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Then he goes to say, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the evil day comes, when those days come, because they will come, you may be able to stand your ground. And after having done everything, to stand. Then it goes again, stand firm. But we're not going to go that. But that word stand, all over the place, isn't it? That means it's an important word. But here's what gets left out in this teaching when I hear it. If we do this the way the church has done it, religiously, I mean, because I'm not the only one who teaches the truth. I'm not saying that by a long shot. Here's what we would hear. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the devil. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that in the evil day when the devil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. Isn't that how we read it? Am I wrong? Am I saying anything wrong? But there's a breakdown here. Went right over your head. There's a breakdown here. If I'm standing and I'm putting on armor to stand, I need to know what I'm standing against. Well, our struggle is not flesh. It's not the guy who cut you off on the road and gave you the finger. It's not the person who jumped in your space in line at the supermarket. I rebuke you, Satan. She ain't nothing but a devil. That's not your best. See, now I'm in your business, right? But I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you, your battle's not against flesh and blood. It just says that. But for you, I guarantee you, most of us, our battle is flesh and blood. How I feel, how I think, what offended me, what I didn't like, why did they have to say it like that? Was it the truth? Yeah, but still, was it the truth? Why do you care how it was said if it was the truth and you need it? I guarantee you nobody ain't going to turn down $1 million if somebody handed it to you and say, here, stupid. What's this, $1 million, stupid? I ain't taking it because I don't like the way you said that. You didn't have to say it like that. You snatched that so fast. This church is full of a bunch of hypocrites, man. We phonies. We could be very phony. We could be very phony. Self-righteous and phony. Not ready to take real stands. We'd rather fight each other about, well, I don't believe in speaking in tongues. Well, I don't believe in it. Well, I don't believe in praying like that. Well, I don't believe in it. Well, in our church, we don't do that. So what? That don't mean it's right because you do it or don't do it in your church. That means you have a religious condition that you stick by. And good for you. God bless you. But so what? That's your thing. I've been sick for 35 years, but I know, look, you've been sick for 35 years and you ain't hear from the Lord, you need to change your approach. Well, God works in seasons. The seasons that I know is 3 months. I don't. Yours has been 30 years. That's a long season. Let me get off of that. I'm meddling. So here's the point. He starts to break this down. Your struggle's not with flesh and blood. It's not your mama, your sister, your brother, your cousin, and your neighbor. But rulers, and it's against authorities and powers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness and spiritual forces in heavenly places in the heavenly realms. Now, one time did it mention the devil? That is the devil. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's divisions. Remember when he fell, he took a third of the angels with him? It's a corporate structure. It's a corporate structure. They're high orders and low orders. So here's what we're talking about. Getting rulers of the darkness and then his authorities. Are you listening?
Yeah.
And then there's powers of the dark world, and it is against spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. So if you take that in order, it's showing you the stack up from the lowest level to the highest. You got forces. There are demons, and you hear people say it, and you probably heard it. Demons of depression. Demons of fear. Demons of confusion. Demons of sickness. You hear people say them all the time. You seen Jesus cast them out. Remember when Jesus went to the boy, he said, who are you? He says, legions. For there are many of us, legions. We came with a troop. So here's what he's saying. I've talked to believers, and they're just dealing with rulers, and they think they're wrestling like they've got the devil by his tail. Specifically, let me just say this to you, and I hope nobody's offended by this, but I don't think anybody in this room qualifies for the devil to give them a personal visit. I don't think none of you qualify. I don't think you're doing enough in the kingdom to threaten him enough that he needs to come down personally and see you. Scripture didn't mention him. He exists, but he's given orders. You got troops. Remember, the prophet said, prayed, I'm trying to remember what his name now, and he said, the angel came to him and finally said, I left to answer your prayer the moment that you prayed. Remember? But the prince of Persia, with them. He didn't say Satan. He said the demon assigned to that realm stood against me, and we fought for days, and I went back and got some help and came back and had to take care of him to get your answer to you. Well, so Pastor, you're saying that we got to deal with all these realms and we got to learn these realms and fight all of these things. Put on the full armor so that you can resist. And if you resist, they will flee and you won't have to fight them. He didn't say you got to fight all of them. He said this is what you have to resist. But what are you resisting? I've had people come to me, financial issues. What are you believing for? I believe God to make a way. What are you believing for? I'm believing the Lord can do all things. What are you believing for? I just want to stop getting these harassing phone calls. And I said, okay, so you're not asking. I don't know if I want to say this. So you're not asking for deliverance. You're asking for cessation of hostilities. You want a relief pill. You want a spiritual aspirin. You don't want to find out where the hole is and plug it. You just want God to take the pressure off. Well, that's what you got. And every month it's right back. Because The spirit assigned to your lack has not been addressed. How do you address it? By standing in yourself. It's not about you fighting the demon. Why does he feel that he has a right to stay? See, it usually gets quiet every time I say this. Demons stay because they can. Spirits stay because they can. Sometimes because you like them and you keep them. Sometimes you're ignorant and you don't know they're there. But they stay because they can. You resist them, they'll go. Resist means no, I don't accept you. No, I don't want you, and no, I don't want you in my life. Let me just say this to you. Pride is the biggest covenant breaker there is in the Bible, man. A pride, six things God hates, yea, seven he despises, a proud look, a lying tongue. Right at the top of the list. I can't stand proud. I got my pride. I ain't going to have people there. And God said, yeah, that's why I can't stand you. Don't mean I hate you. I can't stand you. You can't be in my presence. You can't absorb my greatness because you're too proud. You're more concerned about how people look at you than how God look at you. You're more concerned about how people show you respect than God gives you his honor. See, it gets quiet when I do this. But the Lord wants you to win and be strong. Then everybody gets excited. They want to hear that. Wrong place. I don't do that. I'm telling you this. The victory is God's, not yours. The submission is yours. God doesn't make anybody. God can control all things. He can. But he doesn't. That's not the way he set the world up. He gave us a responsibility. Draw nigh to God, he would draw nigh unto you. If he's God, do anything, he just draw nigh unto you, whether you draw nigh unto him or not. He said, if you don't seek me and obey my commandments in the day of your calamity, I will laugh. I'm picturing God laughing at somebody while they're going through stuff. He said, I will, because you didn't seek me out when I may be found. See, these scripts are there for a reason. Let me stay here. Let me just go back to this. So, next week we're going to break down these different divisions. Rulers, authorities, powers in the dark world, spiritual forces in the heavenly realm. So let's just take them in shifts. So you got your forces that are in the realm of heaven that are designed to create different chaoses or different situations in this world. Yes? And then, who reports to them based on this hierarchy chart? Okay. So you see that, right? So you got the forces in the realms of heaven, in the heavenly realms or in the spirit realm. Then you got power of the dark forces of this world. Stay with me. So you got the function in the realm of heaven, and then you got those that function and the rest of them down on the planet in this world through people, through situations and circumstances. Are you understanding that? Mm-hmm. And then who reports to them? Authorities. It's authorities. Now the authorities respond to them. We're going to break this down. Okay? And then what's the lowest level? The rulers are the lowest level. They're the lowest level. They have positions, and I'm sure the rulers have little minions that function under them. But here's my point. It gives you one thing to do. Pay attention to what I'm about to say, because I feel like some of you are drifting. Don't drift now. Don't drift. You're responsible for what you know. Don't drift. That section alone is enough to make me go, oh, my God. So this is what I'm up against. Well, first of all, the answer to that question is yes. These are the forces that come at you regularly. Are you hearing me? This is it. How many of you say, yeah, Pastor, I can bear witness with some of this stuff in my regular life? I've seen it. I know it's real. You wake up some mornings feeling depressed and ain't nothing even going wrong in your life. just all of a sudden just wake up and just heavy, just feel heavy. Just don't know why you feel heavy. You ever, let me see, anybody? Spiritual forces. Go to sleep and people, they call it the witch attack you, but you feel that attack in your dreams and you're fighting in your sleep and you, huh? This is what we're talking about here. Or Satan was, no. This is forces. Authorities. Rulers. Assigned. You listening to me? To keep you from accepting your destiny. Let me say this again. To keep you from accepting your destiny. Let me see if I can get you on page with me here. Say this with me. Satan cannot stop me from doing anything that God has called me to do unless I give him permission. See, Satan can't stop God's destiny, but he can convince you to abort. To discouragement, to frustration, to disapproval, whatever it is that pushes your button, and we all know what it is. For me, it was rejection. If I'm looking to somebody to confirm me and tell me I'm doing it right, and they reject me, I will lose my whole fire. I always needed somebody to say to me, "You doing okay?" Well, I was an abused child and always told what was wrong with me, so I went through most of my life looking for people to tell me I was okay. Just me? Just me? And then I took on this other position after I became a Christian. You listening to me? You listening to me? Watch this. I don't care what nobody think about me. I got Jesus. Screw all of them. As long as I got the Lord, I was no freer than I was when I was straight with Satan. Because that was an emotional position that I was taking. It was coming out of anger. It was coming out of frustration. It was coming out of me trying to be strong in the Lord in myself. I don't care what nobody think about me. The fact that you said it like that means you care still way too much. You're not free. You're just trying to be strong in your flesh. Come on now. Don't look at me like I'm stupid. You know what I'm telling the truth? Somebody hurt you. Say, I ain't never going to let nobody get that close to me again, ever. And you think that's strong. And it's not, because they wind up getting closer and hurting you worse. That's not a God strength. A God strength is you can get close as you want. You can't hurt me. I'm protected. My spirit is solid. Amen. I can look at you and see your attention. You think I'm making this up? Jesus had Judas near him and knew what he was going to do. Had the table with him. Let him carry the money bag and knew he was a thief. Couldn't get next to him. Couldn't hurt him. He had a function. He had on the armor. He knew what his purpose was. He wasn't focused on the cares of this world. He knew what his assignment was from God, and he made it clear every time somebody tried to tell him. When Peter said, "I rebuke you," he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You don't know about the things of God. You care about the things of man." That is a place we can have, saints. That we're not yanked around by our emotions. We're not yanked around by our feelings and the people in our lives. And this ain't nothing but the devil. Well, you know, maybe you need to stop praising and focusing on the devil so much. Maybe you give him more attention than he deserves. Maybe if you stop talking about how busy the devil is and worshiping him through conversation. Because you're not shaming the devil when you talk about what he does. That's the same as you praising God for the good he does. When you talk about the evil that Satan does, that's praise to him. It's worship to him. Anything that gives him focus. Isn't that why he got thrown out? I should ascend to the throne and be his God. He wanted to worship God received. So any attention to him is praise. That's why in the book of Jude, I'm all over the place, he said, not even a real accusation, just simply, "Satan, get thee behind me." Like, don't even give them a conversation above I rebuke you. Don't even give them the time. And Jude is only one chapter. You can read it. Didn't give him a real an accusation. Just said, get thee behind me. The Lord rebuke you. No, you know how the devil is. Why is that a conversation, believers? How busy the devil is and what he... Why is that a conversation? Why do we even care? He's not our father. He don't have the say in our life. Why are we talking about how busy he is? I don't care how busy he is. My God is better. So, watch this now. We went through the why you put on the armor, and it's for what reason? To stand. Not to fight, to stand. Then he broke down the principles, the powers, the rulers. He breaks them down in legion and force. And the reason I'm trying not to go too deep, and I don't really want to talk them up too much. But then he goes on to, therefore, put on the full armor of God. So that when the evil day comes, when these little things try to pop around, you may be able to stand your ground. Huh. And after you've done all to stand, stand firm. Now, before we get into the belt and the breastplate, I need to make another point. These are the things that I saw as I looked through this. You put on the full armor so that you can stand. Resist the devil. You flee. He said, you may be able to stand your ground. Say, stand my ground. Say, I will be able to stand my ground. On that day, when the enemies try, I will not be moved. I will have on the whole armor. That's all right stuff, the good stuff to say, this church stuff. But there's something missing from all of that. You know what that is? See if I got anybody following me. Some of you have been around me long enough, you know how my brain works. What's missing? Something has not been identified there. Okay, I hear you, Mike. What you saying, Jackie? I don't read lips. He's going to get through that. It does take you through that. He said that you put on the full armor that you may stand your ground. I give you a hint. The key phrase is stand your ground. Okay. Huh? Okay. None of this is wrong, but it's not hitting exactly where I'm trying to get you to think. Stand your ground. Put on the full armor that you can stand your ground. Okay, but you're getting too deep. That's you're on a path, but you close. What are you standing for? What if you're standing your ground, what is your ground? It's hard to get a Christian to stand when they don't know where they're standing. I ask them all the time, so what are you believing for? I just for the Lord to make a way. So you're not standing any ground. What are you defending? Standing your ground, you're defending something. I'm protecting something. I have a position from God that I stand in, and I know I stand in it, and you can't move me. This is my ground. Well, if you're just floating around through Christianity on this glory bed of ease, I worship God every morning at 7 o'clock, and I pray to him just before I eat and watch TV, and I don't watch any R-rated movies until I pray first. And listen, where is your ground? Do you even know what your ground is? What are you here for? Right. Why are you on this planet? Right. You got to identify that. I know what I'm here to do. God prophesied over me years ago. Still got it on tape. Before I had any desire to be a pastor to the church. I'm going to give you a church and it's going to be a lentil patch. It's going to be small. And my mind was like, you can't support a small church. How you support? You got to have people, members. And he said, I'll support it. If it's me, I'll support it. And you have seen me, and opportunities have come for me to go travel, and people take me under their wings, and we're going to put you on TBN. And I said, no thanks. No thanks. God gave me a specific instruction and supports it. We don't rent, we own. Church is five times. I said, I don't own the building. But God has been faithful to the word because I stood my ground. I wouldn't move. I haven't moved. You know, you need to put banners outside and plaques and this and run ads in the magazines. And every time I think about it, God said, don't you dare. Don't you dare. Somebody asked me just not too long ago when the church was here, why don't you put a sign outside? I said, every time I try to think about it, God told me don't do it, and I'm not doing it until he tell me to. And so far he said, no, he don't want that, and I'm not doing it. I'm not promoting a club. I'm teaching those who he sends specifically to teach. And yet, we lack nothing. Amen. We've never done the new shoes offering yet. The new equipment to nothing. The light bill offering, nothing. Amen. Set up a food pantry. Feed over 100 families a week. They haven't raised an offering for that. Don't tell me that it doesn't work. It works. Amen. If you're going to stand, you need to know where you're standing. Yes. Stop just saying these Christian sayings. There's a world full of people that do that. If you really want to walk with God, then you have to say, God, show me where I'm planted, and I promise you I'll stand in my armor, and I will not be moved. Yeah, but you just don't know what I'm going through and trying to pay my bills. I'm telling you why you're having them problems, because you're not standing where you're supposed to be standing. You get there, that's a comfortable place, boy. The winds blow and the rain descends and the floods come, but you built on the rock and you do not move. But if you understand, yeah, you get pushed and knocked around by every, ooh, did you see the new book about the prayer of Jabez? Oh, here we go now, off on some other thing. So now everybody else is going to run after this new, this is the new spiritual thing. It's like Dr. Oz always coming up with some new medicine that they paid him to promote on his show. Yeah, I said it. And all of a sudden, it's the new thing now. Considia Cambogia. This is in all the magazines. I've seen it. All right? They paid you. And it is in church. This is the new hot thing now. What's the new word, the hot word of the day? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the word it's always been. It's always been. And all these things to be added unto you. It's always worked. And if I'm not proof, and if we're not proof that this works, you don't need to be here. What are you here for? This stuff works. We know it works. How many of you have been here long enough to say, Pastor, we know it works? That's a lot of people. I'm telling you it works, but you're going to have to stand. Look at me. You're going to have to stand. You're going to have to stand. You are not going to face this without some resistance. The enemy will come. But all you have to do is stand. You ain't got to fight him. You ain't got to wrestle him. You just have the armor on, and you got to stand your ground. Not my ground. Right. Well, Pastor believed for that, and he got that. I'm going to believe for that, too. That's not your ground. That's my ground. What's yours? Now, I'm going to put people on the spot a little bit. How many of you can say to me, by a show of hands, I know exactly what my ground is and where I'm supposed to be, and I'm standing it? Mm-hmm. I know exactly where God wants me to be, and I'm standing in my place. So, but you see how important then this is? You see how that you see the percentage of us that don't know? That's not a put down. It's a wake up. Don't pray for another thing and another bill to be paid. Another say, God, where's my ground and where I need to be standing? That needs to be your prayer right here. I need clarity, crystal clarity on what ground am I standing? See, the thing a lot of us didn't know about until the Trayvon Martin case was stand your ground laws. But they take their sense from biblical principle. If it's your ground and somebody threatens it, you have a right to take them out. You have a right to pursue them if necessary, offer your ground to take them out. I don't know if you know if that's the stand your ground law. Now, I live in a place where that exists. So literally, if you try to harm or hurt somebody, they have a right to go back to their car, get their gun, and chase you down and take you out, and it's considered stand your ground. Now, compare that to biblical principle. Compare that to biblical principle. Enemies come against you. He said, didn't he tell them, go pursue them all, leave none standing, take. That's where they try to take it from. The Bible's telling me to put on the armor. I can stand my ground. Enemies come up in my place. I got a right to take him out and chase him down the block if I have to and take his head off. You came in my space. This is my space. You don't have a right in it. Is this blessing somebody? This is the power God has given you. Next week we'll start to go through the armor and go through it step by step. But I need you to understand why the armor is there. It's not there so you can be strong. Listen to me. While the enemy's whooping on you. Just be strong. Hold on. Oh, I'm holding on. You know, I've heard people say that. I'm like, no, it doesn't say hold on. It says resist, stand, hold your ground. But sometime the enemy come, oh, you love the enemy too much. You and him got a relationship. He got keys. He in your house that much, he got keys. You need to find out how he got the keys and get them back. The enemy keeps showing up. He got keys. He feel like he have a right. He got a lease with you. Something somewhere has given him right to come in and go whenever he feel like it. I know some of y'all give me that look. You can look at me if you want to, but I'm just telling you the truth. If he's there like that, he's got permission. I had to own that in my life, and I couldn't get him out until I owned it. Why does he feel free to just walk up in my stuff? Well, you know when the Lord is moving, you know the enemy going to move. Well, who gave him that permission? I don't see in the Bible where the devil has that permission to show up in the Lord's place or to show up when the Lord is there. Because if I read the Bible right, tell me if I'm making a mistake. Jesus walked up on a man possessed with demons. And the demons, as soon as they saw Jesus come and start crying out, we know who you are. Are you going to condemn us before the time? They ready to go. You tell me God show up and Satan shows up with them? They was trying to get out of there. They said, well, can we go to the pigs? And the pigs got more sense than a lot of Christians. They went and jumped off the cliff like, we don't want no demons. We'd rather jump off the cliff. You follow what I'm saying? We resist. But we resist in the place that we're supposed to be. We resist standing in the place that when the enemy questions, you can say, no, I know this is the ground I'm supposed to be standing in. And I will not be fazed or moved. I might feel a little pressure for a minute, but I know the outcome is I'm going to push back and you're going to go because you don't have a right. And if you continue to stay, then I'm going to have to hurt you. Because I know the time is up, but I do want to say this. I'm not doing the Hebrew and Greek this week like I normally do, but the word says resist the enemy and he will. And the word flee is a word that denotes terror. It's a word of fear. That means when you just stand against the devil, he becomes frightened, intimidated, and running. If you're from the street, I remember fleeing the officers when I was doing things I had no business doing. And it wasn't a casual stroll. It was with everything you found speed you didn't know you had. The Bible says resist him and he will flee. Not leave. Yeah. Flee. Yeah. Why? Because fear comes from the enemy, and he's the father of fear, and he's the biggest coward that exists on the universe of creation if you stand against him. He don't want to fight. He just wants to bully. He don't want to fight. He don't want to fight. He don't really want it. That's why he hides behind all of these troops and legions and groupings that we're talking about. He sits back and sends everybody else out. You got authority over him, so you know you got authority over anything he sends. Amen? Amen? Amen. Stand with me.